I'm not going to make you swear in a Bible, I promise. So I will say it. I would ask you to please repeat after me. I am not here for me.
I am not here for me.
I am here for the people.
I am here for the people.
That lent me their power in exchange. Let me finish. That lent me their power in exchange for a promise.
I have lent me their power in exchange for a promise.
I will keep that promise.
I will keep that promise.
To make decisions with their interest in mind.
To make decisions with their interest in mind.
I will vote after knowing the facts, not before.
I will vote after knowing the facts, not before.
I will use Robert's rules for their purpose, not my own.
I will use Robert's rules for their purpose, not my own.
I will oppose ideas, not people.
I will oppose ideas, not people.
I will think before I speak, not speak just to think.
I will think before I speak, not speak just to think.
I will take my job seriously or not take the job at all.
I will take my job seriously or not take the job at all.
I will represent my fellow students' interests, not my own.
I will represent my fellow students' interests, not my own.
I am not here for me.
I am not here for me.
Thank you very much. Maybe see you. We do that at the beginning of every trimester to remind you of the oath. So I'll remind you of the oath you have taken and begin by saying, we would like to respectfully acknowledge that our university and our students' union are located on Treaty 6 territory. We are grateful to be on Cree, Dene, Soto, Métis, Blackfoot, and Dakota Sioux territory, specifically the ancestral space of the Papas Chase Cree. These nations are our family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. As members of the University of Alberta Students' Union, we honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship. We aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge and work towards the decolonization of Indigenous knowledges and traditions. The other thing that's on here is that the Council Scholarships. So, before I announce the winners, I will say I'm a bit disappointed. Only 10 people voted. However, that was using the Google form that I created and sent out to everyone. Only 10 people voted. Now, there is no rule in the standing orders about how many people have to vote for them to get it. So on that note, the winners of the Council Scholarship for the spring and summer term are Councillors Kim and Councillor Belcourt. I have already let Rebecca Discover Governance know. I believe she will be getting in contact with you. If she doesn't, let me know, and I'll figure out what the next steps are. But I believe she'll be the one to get in contact with you soon. Okay, that's it from our late additions. And the announcements, the next meeting of Students' Council will take place Tuesday, October 30th, 2018 at 6 p.m. Council Chambers at University Hall. Actually, I have one more thing before we go into presentations. It was brought to my attention at the end of the last meeting, there were some issues brought up about how people have been behaving, or not necessarily behaving, but how people have been going through question period. Now, as question period is not a Robert's Rules thing, it is a parliamentary thing. I went to the highest order of the land and I looked at the legislature, the House of Commons rules on order of debate. So, for question period, you may ask one question. Not two questions at a time. Not, can you answer this and also this? You just cram in your 30 seconds and go for it. You may ask one question. However, if that answer, after the answer is given, if you have a follow-up that is related to that same topic, you may ask a follow-up question. Only if it's related to the same topic, and it will still take one of your speaking turns. Okay, one question. And you may take a follow-up after the person has answered. If you would like to take a follow-up, because it gives me the speaking list, if you'd like to make a follow-up question, just raise your placard after the person's done speaking, and I'll come back to you, and that will count towards one of your three questions. Any questions about that? If you want to know how to do a question period, just watch some videos of House of Commons.
Are we supposed to send our questions in advance?
No. So according to standing orders, you may ask up to three questions verbally. Excuse me, during question period. However, you may also, there is no limit on how many written questions you can submit. And if you're doing that, you just send it to the same submissions email, say, this is for this person, and write your question there, and it will be added onto the order papers, and that person can respond, either written as well or verbally.
And is this the same rules that when we're online? So
if you're on the live stream, for those of you who are on the live stream, what you can do there is I count the live stream questions as verbal questions, okay, because they're written at that moment. If you'd like to ask a question and you know you're going to be attending in the live stream but you want it to be written, just send it in like everyone else as a written one to Council Submissions. Okay, questions about that? Cool. So that's all I have. We'll move into, and one more thing. We have a person from the gateway here who is going to be taking pictures tonight. If anyone does not want their picture taken, please identify yourself now. And he will not take a picture of you. So anyone who does not want to be in pictures.
Not
while
I'm eating.
All right. Seeing no one, we'll move into presentations. So our first presentation that was planned, there's two on there. One of them was removed because it was actually for a later meeting, so we're not going to worry about that. We have one presentation here. Sunday moves to allow the presentation. Part Town Hall Feedback. The presentation will cover the feedback received from the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Town Hall, September 27, 2018. There are seconds to the presentation. Over to final. Is there any opposition to receiving this presentation? You may raise your placard if you're opposed to receiving the presentation. Okay. Seeing none, I will allow the presentation. Councillor Sunday, you have the floor.
So I could have sent this in a presentation, on the council order papers, but I thought I would do a presentation just with us. Why not?
More fun.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, sure.
Okay, so this presentation will go over what the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee heard at its September 27th town hall. There we go. We will be going, there'll be an overview of the town hall, who attended, the feedback received, and questions. So first, an overview of the town hall. So the purpose of the town hall was to engage students in the recommendations currently being drafted by ARC. The event acted as the last engagement push regarding the recommendations. The recommendations were condensed and presented to participants in four categories: Students Council, Advocacy, Education, and Operational. As well, a reconciliation wall was enacted at the front of the room and asked students the question, "What does reconciliation mean to you?" The next slides will provide an overview of the condensed list of recommendations. So the condensed list of recommendations under Students Council are the creation of a task force dealing with representation and diversity on Students Council. This task force should be delegated the authority to review the current model of Students Council in relation to Council and student feedback, as well as other university models, and make recommendations on it. There would also increase transparency in regards to its work and advocacy for students, expand the current Student Union Truth and Reconciliation political policy, and host council-wide town halls semi-regularly. Oh, there's a clicker. Don't break them, we'll try. Wow. So next was advocacy. The recommendations of ARC surrounding advocacy included increased access to childcare, implementing Indigenous knowledges in the classroom, building the Musqua House of Learning, engaging with First Nations and First Nations communities, ensuring Aboriginal students across North Campus, Augustana, and Campus St. John have access to culturally relevant services, and Aboriginal-specific academic advising positions. Under education, we had high-level management in the Student Union to receive anti-oppression training and create more opportunities for undergraduate students to learn about Aboriginal peoples. Lastly, we had operational, and there were quite a few here. So we had the student union shall conduct an internal organizational review focused on providing recommendations on future reconciliatory efforts, hire elders and traditional knowledge keepers, create an internal department of indigenous relations and reconciliation, incorporate indigenous knowledges into undergraduate orientation events, provide employment opportunities for Aboriginal students and people of color, create Aboriginal-specific student union awards, increase the prevalency of Aboriginal art within the SU collection, create a mural within SUB depicting the treaty relationship, and create a Stride-like program which focuses on race, Aboriginality, and ethnicity. So as to who attended the town hall, an estimated 70 individuals participated, including undergraduate students, master's students, University of Alberta faculty and staff, student union employees, and members of Students' Council. Both Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people participated, and we received about 145 unique pieces of feedback, excluding the reconciliation law. Of the feedback received, the general feedback was that participants enjoyed being engaged by Students' Council. Cheryl McCokas, the traditional knowledge keeper who was here, I believe, a couple council meetings ago, provided great insight through stories and teachings. No comments were negative regarding the Students' Union's attempts to incorporate reconciliation, and all feedback was constructive and helped solidify ARC's position. So in regards to the Students' Council feedback, specifically in regards to creating a task force, one piece of feedback was, is it possible to make a task force without members of council, like no councillors on the committee? Other feedback include worried that the task force would lead to a slippery slope, and how do we prioritize Indigenous voices on this task force? As well, transparency is one thing, engagement in council advocacy among students is another, and in what ways can the SU do this? In regards to the council-wide town halls, feedback was, what does this have to do with ARC, and what is the intent of future town halls? As for advocacy feedback, Native Studies course requirements for all, allow children to come to classes, especially breastfed babies, engage Métis and Inuit community organizations, and in regards to having culturally relevant services across the university, someone said this is so important, why can't we have a fire going when we have ceremony? For education feedback, in regards to SU management receiving SU production training, it was all people within SU should have to take this and to complete the Indigenous Canada MOOC. As well, I should say, everything in quotations is a direct quote from a piece of feedback received. In regards to creating opportunities for undergraduates to learn about Aboriginal people, the comment was, what does this actually look like? Tangible examples would be great, as well as, does this include supporting students to learn from Aboriginal students and to include events, ceremonies, and classes? As for operational, again, because it was a little bit larger, it's split up into two screens. In reference to the internal organizational review, in partnership with Aboriginal Student Council and Native Studies Student Association and other Aboriginal groups around campus was a big thing, as well engage other groups not relying solely on First Nations community recommendations are key. In reference to hiring elders, there was questions of where it could involve youth and community members, and in reference to incorporating Indigenous knowledge into undergraduate orientation events, as well, this person wanted to see in all undergrad or grad programs. In reference to providing employment opportunities for Aboriginal students and people of color, we had does this mean giving advantage and specific amount or rationale? In reference to creating Aboriginal specific awards, there was a lot of I like this or I love this. In reference to the student union increasing the prevalency of Aboriginal art within its collection, there was more art around campus would be great. And in creating a Stride-like program, it was yes to this, SU is hella colorblind. As for the reconciliation wall, some things we got were coming together, the grandfather or grandmother teachings, which are seven, I believe, Anishinaabe teachings. Wakotuan, which means together, understanding, learning, and listening. Common themes that we got throughout the day was more recommendations are needed to be crafted regarding students who parent. This was a big thing for people who mentioned. As well, we were on the right track regarding the recommendations, and all the participants supported reconciliation within the Student Union. We got no feedback as to that, just people wondering what that would look like. Education for all students is important to dispel myths and bring us closer together. The incorporation of Indigenous knowledge is important and is important in all facets of life. And as well, I just wanted to include a final quote before questions that we got as a piece of feedback that I really liked, which is, children are so important. We need to do this heavy work so our future generations are safe and successful. So with that, are there any questions? MOOC is a massive open online course. So it's an online course that anyone can take. Yes, Dr. Palmer.
Is there a timeline of how or recommendations of how this can be implemented?
Well, the recommendations themselves we're hoping to have done within a month or 2 months. That's my goal. We've had to push it back several times, so although 1 or 2 months, we will push it back however long we need until we get the person with.
Is there a way that we can help?
Yeah, if anyone has any suggestions or comments, feel free to attend ARC and, you know, let your voice be heard, and or if you want, you can also send me an email with any feedback that you have, and I'll share that with the committee. Vice President Ripka and then President Larson.
Thanks. Good job, first of all. I think that's a huge success, and I'm happy that you managed to put all this together. I was just wondering, what have you learned from this last one? Do you plan on doing a future one, and how are you going to adapt to those changes?
Definitely what I think the committee as a whole learned from the last one is maybe better preparation beforehand. I think we, maybe a month or 2 months in advance, we have to really have concrete things that we're going to get done. I do think that, depending on what the committee says, that we will do another town hall. It was very beneficial. We got lots of people out. I would also recommend council as a whole or other committees do something similar, reach out to students. You know, voter apathy is pretty real, and any way that we can engage students, I think, is for the better.
My question was asked, however, I did just want to reiterate our thanks. I think that ARC has done a fantastic job. I attended for a short period of time in my day, and I would really like to extend my thanks to yourself and all those involved, including those community members with us today and otherwise. It was a fantastic event, and I learned quite a bit myself.
Governor Biden.
Can you go back to the education funding? Okay, now this is a quote, so but I was wondering if you, maybe just your interpretation from it. Under all people within SU should have to take this, I guess meaning the anti-oppression training, do you suppose the person who left that feedback meant all staff and volunteers that participate within, say, like the student team, or all members of the student team, meaning like all undergraduates?
Because the point that this was attached to dealt specifically with equity management, I would see it as employees of the student union, is how I read it. Okay. So not every member of the student union. I think when you say members of the student union, a lot of times students won't think of themselves, right? They'll think counselors or people who work for it. So I would view it as employees of the union.
Okay. Would it be difficult, like, if that were to go forward, is there something we could work in for volunteers? Possibly.
I don't see why not. I mean, I'm pretty sure you could, there's a lot of different great organizations around that do anti-oppression training. I believe APR does it for free, so I don't see why, you know, the more people who take it, I think the better. People, you know, you can learn stuff from it, and I've done it myself, and it's a fairly good experience. So, counselors Kim.
Amen.
Eamon?
Eamon.
Yeah. Counselors Kim, Eamon, and Fadoosh.
I was just going to say, I'm the one who wrote that, so...
Okay, thank you. So if you want to hear my
When I wrote that, I was thinking about SU, like, counselors for sure, and SU employees, as well as those people who are more like team leader kind of positions within SU volunteers and students who are involved, and it is what I meant by it. So if it's like 1 day or 2 day or 3 hour volunteers, it's very difficult to add it into training, or maybe
for the clarification. Councillor Amon.
Yeah, just to bounce off of that, I'm just wondering, my question is actually where we can find the anti-oppression training. I'm interested in that. My other question, am I allowed to ask another one?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just wondering when the next ARC meeting is and if other councils are allowed to join in and sit in.
So as for the first part, APERG, so I think if you go APERG.org, or you can look them on Facebook, they are a dedicated B unit of the Students' Union, and they do great anti-oppression workshops, so I definitely contact them. As for ARC, our next meeting is on the 22nd at 4. And yes, any counselor can attend. So we're trying to model it after CAC. So basically, every member of council is a member of ARC and can go and vote. So we accept any and all counselors. Councilor Gadu.
I was just going to, off of what Governor Fong said, basically, for you to welcome the Office of Sustainability, we want you guys to be trained on terrorism. And they would be good in 20 minutes. So I don't think you'd be able to go over there. Except volunteer programs, so something that's usually not that. It wouldn't be the most comprehensive training, but it's definitely super possible.
And just from my experience, I know that I believe APERG, they can do it in, they have 30-minute workshops, hour workshops, so definitely it's not extensive. So it's not extensive by any means, but and at least it's something. So I don't think incorporating a 30-minute training or module would be too much trouble. Yes, Councilor Stavis.
I think that was a really good presentation. I think covered a lot of bases. I'd be curious as to what carries over to the recommendations now for that presentation. But my question is more really just a clarification whether or not you would say the 24th or the 22nd is your next part. The 22nd being Monday.
22nd. Yeah.
22nd,
yeah.
And as a sort of second piece to that same question, I was just also for guest recommendation. It'd be really nice if ARC sometimes had meetings just varying times. Just because it seems like all of so far is for me, I know a few other people tend to overlap with a lot of classes, so it makes it a bit difficult to attend it.
Okay.
But I know you guys also have your own schedule to work around.
No, I'll take that feedback, definitely, thank you. And Councillor Palmer, the meeting is in 6:06. Councillor Belcourt.
Didn't we make it so there's Council Monday?
Yes. Yeah, they're usually on all council Mondays. With that, I don't see any more questions, so thanks everybody for listening. If you want a more comprehensive report, there was one provided to ARC, and it should be in the ARC agenda that's on the website. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Sunday. Okay, that is all we have for presentations today. We will move into the Executive Committee report. Is there any members of the Executive who wish to make a report? Beginning with President Larson.
All right, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to talk very quickly, so y'all are going to have to either tune in or tune out. I do want to kind of congratulate everybody, our new members, and everybody else here. We are actually just past the mid-year mark of our mandates. Congratulations. We're 6 months in. Now, I do want to say a couple of things. Halfway through the year, in approximately 6 months, we've accomplished a lot as an executive as well as a council. Our Vice President External chairs the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations, our Vice President Academic chairs an OER committee and is repeatedly invited to go across North America to present and go talk on these things. Our Vice President of Student Life has given nothing but fantastic feedback on Canvas, and we will have a full rollout of educational materials. East Campus Village has been reestablished. We will do the largest Get Out the Vote effort in our Students' Union's history, as well as the largest public awareness campaigns in our Students' Union's history. We have taken donations, the first Students' Union in the country to take charitable donations. I had that double-checked. We are also moving forward on advocacy efforts that have been unbelievable. We've had the premier on campus, members of all parties on campus, and leaders of parties on campus, all within a week, particularly during Week of Welcome. A fantastic, unbelievable effort. The ARC Town Hall went smoothly. I am thrilled by the feedback we have received, and we continue to move forward with crafting recommendations. We have two newly formed departments at the Students' Union. We have a brand new kitchen, we have a brand new conferences department, and we rehired and restructured our entire advocacy department within 6 months. We are moving towards a bright year, a fantastic year. I want to thank you all so much for that momentum.
Thank you, President Larson. That's your 2 minutes.
Are very excited.
President Larson. I'll go to Vice President Brown.
All right. Hello, everyone. I got up a plane about 2.5 hours ago, so excuse me if I'm a little tired this meeting, but I arrived back from what was a week in Winnipeg and then literally 24 hours in Victoria. While I was away, I visited the Red River College Student Association in Winnipeg as well as the University of Manitoba Students Union. And last night, I was presenting to the Camosun College Student Society, who are prospective members of the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations. They're running a referendum next week to determine whether their student body wants to join CASA. So we're really excited to see our family hopefully grow to 23 members. In addition to the Kwantlen University Student Association in British Columbia, also running a referendum in February. So fantastic stuff coming out of there. We've also nearly finished the process of hiring a membership staff at CASA, which is great news. Biggest thing I will note is that tomorrow and Friday we will be tabling and sub for the cost tuition review campaign. For those of you who have responded to the Google form to sign up to help, thank you very much. I look forward to doing that with you. For the rest of you, a Facebook event has been sent out, graphics are out. If you can share that on your social media, if you can get the buzz going, we really want students to come forward and send messages to the Minister of Advanced Education about the fact that they want the tuition review to come out, and we would like some predictable tuition in this province. We will be, President Larson, our external advocacy advisor, and myself will be attending the Alberta Party Convention this week and the New Democrat Party of Alberta Convention next week. And tomorrow's October 17th, so keep an eye out for that. There are some really interesting resources out there from Alberta Health Services, as well as the Canadian Centre for on Substance Abuse and Addiction that you can check out. Otherwise, like President Larson said, we'll have some stuff coming up. Thank you.
Thank you, President Brown. Thank you, President Ripka.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Hello, everyone. Nice to be here again. So some quick updates in addition to my written report. As President Larson mentioned, the catering kitchen is open, finally. I think there was like 3 postponed opening dates, so we're finally there. It's really excellent. I'm hoping to grow that business to bring in more revenue so that we can fund some great services and events for students. Just an update on French bar poster translation. It's coming. It's in marketing right now, so I will get that to you soon. Applications have opened for the executive campaign crew, as so we're calling it, and that's going to be on the deferred maintenance kind of referendum fee kind of situation. So they're going to be doing a lot of the market research and consultation in regards to that. So I will send that into the WhatsApp group so you can send it to all your creative friends. The next step in that consultation process is I will be presenting to COFA next week. I thought it was earlier in October, but it's next week. And also consulting with our SU student staff. The first meeting of the Social and Environmental Responsibility Committee is next week. I'll keep you updated on that. Yeah. And then finally, also strategic planning for the bars. We're going to focus on Dewey's first, because I don't know if you've noticed the sign of Dewey's on Dewey's. It's not very good right now. So we're trying to work out that brand image situation. Finally, my office hours have changed to tomorrow from 3 to 4. So please come visit me. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Vice President Ripka. Vice President Badger.
Thank you very much. So I just got back from a really great conference in New York, Buffalo, called OpenEd 2018. It was really, really actually amazing to see open educational resource advocates from across the world, honestly. There are people from Brazil, Guatemala, obviously the United States and things. I probably brought back around 15 to 20 action items, which is like unachievable in the short term. So I mean, I'm happy to have this list. One of the things that we're going to be doing right away here is that we are going to be changing the Open Educational Resource Advocacy Group name to the Open Educational Resource Steering Committee and try to bring it underneath the Provost's Initiatives Office. And so that is a really exciting change. The B BookSmart Fair report is just stuck in marketing right now. So as soon as that's done, I will be bringing it to council as an information item just to sort of show the impact of the fair and what steps are going to happen moving forward and recommendations for next year. I went to a student library advisory committee yesterday, which was actually really, really, really great. It's about 15 students from master's, undergrad, and faculty, like library faculty, where we talk about student spaces specifically in the libraries. So something that's going to be happening very soon is a library student spaces survey is going to be going out about what you think your library should look like on campus. So I will circulate that via the council email as soon as I have access. The GovWeek Planning Committee is going to be meeting for the first time this Thursday, so I'm really excited to get working on the GovWeek Planning Committee. If anyone does have any ideas regarding GovWeek and how to engage council, I do encourage you to come to CAC next Tuesday, the next time we have CAC, and provide your feedback. And General Faculties Council will be meeting this Monday, and there's some nice things on the agenda, such as the 2019-2020 academic calendar and a couple of generic discussions regarding cannabis and things like that. So if you have any other questions, feel free to ask me later. Thanks.
Thank you, Vice President Bandinger. Do any of you have a report on behalf of Vice President Bourgeois? President Larson.
Just so everybody is aware, Vice President Bourgeois is at the United Nations Global Leaders Conference for the next, I believe, 4 days.
Thank you, President Larson. Okay, we'll now go into board and committee reports. Begin by going to Councillor Sunday for ARC.
So as I said in my presentation, we will be meeting next Monday the 22nd. As I said, we had our town hall, went great. I just wanted to thank the following councillors for volunteering and helping out at the town hall. Councillors Hadouche, Rates, sorry, go down this, give me a sec. Bilak, Bruce, as well as representatives from the Native Studies Student Association and Aboriginal Student Council. I would also like to thank the executives for coming. I believe that every executive came at least some point during the town hall, and I'd also like to thank members of these, like employees of the student union, who either came and provided feedback or just came to see what it was about. So thanks everyone, and if anybody has any questions for me about anything, feel free to ask. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Sunday. I have a report from Councillor Thibodeau on behalf of Audit Committee. He sent me an email saying the KPMG audit had to be postponed until October 26th. And so with late agenda, Audit Committee did not meet. We have several budgets going through the audit process and hope to have further updates to you as soon as possible. I'll now go to Councillor Kim for Bylaw.
Hi, everyone. Happy International Day of Eradication of Poverty. So just FYI, so if you're buying coffee today from Daily Grind, all the proceeds go to United Way for poverty portion. As to Bylaw Committee, we have met last Thursday at 4 p.m. and we discussed two agenda items. First one was the first principles of bilingualism. So Councillor Hadush here is our draft person for this bill, so if you have any recommendation or suggestion, feel free to reach out to her. Otherwise, she'll be drafting the second principles. We also discussed the second principles of Bill Number 2 regarding attendance. So you will be introduced to this bill in our upcoming agenda item. Our next meeting will be on October 25th, 4 p.m., which is next week, Thursday. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kim. While I appreciate the importance of the announcement you made, when you're doing committee reports, please keep it to committee business. Governor Flanagan for CAC.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So CAC met today at 5 p.m. I'd like to thank everybody for coming, and I'm quite thrilled that this is the first meeting in a long time we've used our full hour. Probably the most important business of note is we passed a motion, and any meeting going forward will end at 9 o'clock today. So for anybody that has midterms coming up, such as me in the morning, we might appreciate the extra little bit of studying. Other things that we talked about, something that I've been trying to get us to adapt on a regular basis is using, taking advantage of the Sustain SU Reusable Dish Program. One issue with that is we have to go get it, we have to bring the dishes here, and then we have to bring them back and clean them after, which is why it never really took off, because when we get out of here at 10 p.m., who wants to go clean dishes? Councillor Sunday offered to help us clean those. It is quite a task. I would ask for any volunteers that would be able to help as well. So if you're interested in doing that, let me know, and maybe we can stop using these paper plates. We also talked about Executive Compensation Review Committee. So if anybody is interested in the types of benefits and pay that execs get and want to review that, we're going to be drafting up some terms of reference for potential new committee soon. We also talked about the council resolution procedure. So rather than go to die board, we want to do our dispute resolution kind of in-house. So that's going to be coming in a little bit later in the term in November. We also talked about canceling the council meeting before Campus St. Jean and Augustana council meetings.
Thank you, Governor Flanagan. That's all the time you have. I'll go to President Larson for the executive committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. From my understanding, executive hasn't met since our last meeting because I was on vacation and we did not have one. Did you guys meet without me?
I was also.
Yeah, Adam was away. So no, we have not had a meeting since our last meeting of council. It's actually quite a challenge for us to meet these days. We have very busy schedules. I believe we will have an update following tomorrow morning.
Thank you, President Larson. I'll go to Vice President Ripka for Finance.
Finance Committee has not met since the last council meeting, but we will be meeting next week on Wednesday, the 24th, from 5 to 6. You are all invited. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Ripka. Councillor Ferris, where are you sitting? There you are. Councillor Ferris for NOMCOM.
NOMCOM. So NOMCOM has not met since last meeting. We were going to meet for the Indigenous Student at Large, but we didn't get out any applications. But we have an application now, so we're going to meet for that. Plus, we have to do another couple things. We have some more Students at Large for ARC, as well as filling a bunch of the ARC nominations. So that is coming up in the next little bit. So far, nothing. It's a busier year for NOMCOM this year. Nothing really happened last year, so I'm really excited that we actually have business. So, yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Ferris. Councillor Rates for Policy.
Hello. Policy Committee met last Tuesday and will be meeting next Tuesday. You will see on the agenda that we do not have anything brought forward. However, this is the first time in a long time, and you can look forward in the near future to see things coming up. Last meeting, we updated our standing orders to ensure that we were amending our review process for a larger focus on wider research done for policies being renewed. We also talked about the engagement, we talked about engagement and revisions to the ED, Equity, Diversity, and Inclusivity Policy, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission Policy, Experiential Learning Policy, and we also lightly talked about the engagement policy. That's practically all for updates here. I just want to say that I am making verbal the commitment to get a picture of our entire committee when we have full attendance. I think it'd be cute.
Thank you, Councillor Reid. Governor Flanagan for the Board of Governors.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Not a whole lot to really touch on. I think President Larson wrote in his written report that we had a meeting on Friday that was relatively kind of low-key. Nothing really happened. So I'll probably have more at our after our next meeting.
Thank you, Governor Flanagan. Is there any other members of boards or committees who wish to make a report? Going once, going twice. Oh, Governor Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a really quick update from FACRA, the First Alberta Campus Radio Association, representing CDSR, broadcasting live from the basement of the Students Union Building. Councillor Thibodeau, due to his practicum, had to resign, which is why we have a motion on the agenda today to fill his seat. So I think Vice President Ripka is going to introduce the motion, but if you have any questions about the committee itself and the kind of cool stuff that we do, please feel free to ask. I've been there for 3.5 years now, and it's a really cool thing, so everybody should apply.
Thank you, Governor Flanagan. President Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Strategic Plan Steering Committee has begun meeting. I think they are on their, they've had their third meeting today, looking at Councilor Billick. They have completed a SWOT analysis as well as kind of an introduction to strat planning, and will continue to work on the strategic plan.
Thank you, President Larson. Any other members of boards or committees who wish to make a report? Seeing none.
Hi.
Oh.
Can I make?
Yes, Councilor Motley.
Beautiful. I'd like to make a report on behalf of the APERC committee or board that I'm a part of. So we have, I'm out of breath, sorry. Help me. Oh.
I'll help you when you start something.
What do we have coming up then?
Oh, okay. Oh,
thank you.
So we have our annual general meeting, AGM, coming up on the, October 30th. It's where I think we do our accountability to the SU, give out our financial reports and all the funding that we do. If you're interested, unfortunately, I think it's the same date as the council meeting, so I don't think it's going to work out, but you can actually make it work because we can decide to meet later because we'll start at around 6 o'clock. So that's it. Any more things we should have to say?
I just think that we should let your
polls know just because money is just going towards a perk. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, councillors. Just for the future, try and amalgamate it to one person. So back and forth. Any other members of boards or committees? Seeing none, we will move into open forum. I have had no one register as a guest, but I believe the gateway came in right near the end. So the gateway, I'll let you ask any questions if you have some. None? All right. Did you have something? Just
yeah.
A question?
Yeah, I have a question.
Question. Council questions can wait till, we'll wait till question period, please. Mr. Funk.
As far as I'm aware right now, I would say that those will likely, very, very likely be the spots. I would be very surprised to see them change. I was part of the walkthrough along with Vice President Bourgeois. We walked around campus for about an hour and a half with administrators trying to figure out exactly where these spots would be, one of them being the northwest corner of the Students' Union Building. So I would be very, very surprised if these spots change.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Another question from the gateway?
Yeah, same topic, but can you speak to how those spots were determined?
Vice President Brown.
Thank you for the follow-up. Those spots were determined based on some of the work from the cannabis working group in their final report. There were a couple of maps, I believe, in the report that identified a few possible locations. The criteria that we really looked at when walking around was obviously complying with provincial and municipal regulations. So a certain distance from sports field, hospitals, schools, different areas like that. I can point out one specific area, which would be the Northwest Corner Students Union Building. We were originally looking at a space sort of in the middle of that courtyard between Sub and the Industrial Design Studio. However, based on feedback that we got from Industrial Design students and faculty, they shared with us very strongly that they were not in favor of that, so we decided to move it to the northwest corner of the Students Union Building, so it's a little bit farther away. We tried to determine locations that were not going to be extremely heavy foot traffic, so that students weren't going to be walking, so that large numbers of students were going to be walking through those sites, as well that they were going to be fairly accessible from certain buildings and spots. So one of them is fairly close to Dewey's, so after or during social events, students can access that spot. Similar with the one outside the Students Union Building, if there's patio activities in Rad or Dinwiddie Lounge, and Lister and East Campus Village, obviously, so that residents can access those spots fairly accessibly.
Mr. Brown, any further questions? Mr. Fung, final question.
Final question on the same topic. Do you feel that those spots have are like sort of what you expected? Do you feel like it could have been one somewhere else? Just how you feel about the final spot.
Vice President Brown.
Thank you for the question. I love how many questions I'm getting today, by the way. I'm happy with those spots. Vice President Bourgeois and I discussed this fairly thoroughly, and for a campus that for a university that I think is being quite forward-thinking in this area, I'm quite pleased with what's happened so far. I could see potentially in the future more spots opening up as legalization happens, but it's unpredictable, and so starting with four I think is reasonable. But the cannabis policy is going to be reviewed every 6 months by the university, and so that gives us a pretty consistent time frame at which to revisit these spots. If the existing spots need to be changed or removed, if more spots need to be added, but I'm fairly happy with where things are now, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing what happens as the rest of this year continues.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. We'll conclude open forum there, which will bring us into question period. Now open the floor to questions from council. Beginning with Councillor Ferris, I believe.
Cool. This question is for VP Brown. Just basically still on that topic, I was just looking at the map. One of the main things you said was like a not heavy foot traffic, but isn't the northwest corner of Rutherford like quite a high foot traffic? But you did say, it was like nice to Dewey's and stuff like that, but just kind of like factoring that in since that is like one of the major gateways out of the arts area, so yeah.
Vice President Brown.
Yeah, thank you for the question. That was probably the most, I'd say, interesting discussion for a spot that we did have with administration. What we found was that it was important to have an area around Dewey's because it is a social spot on campus. But having it in that specific area did provide seating. It was in light as well. And the reality is that what we were discussing is that students aren't likely to just want to smoke cannabis in the middle of the day most of the time. And a lot of the consumption that would occur in the Dewey's area would be at night when there's a significantly less foot traffic. So we figured that that was a pretty reasonable space for it for now. However, if it does change and it does need to be modified, then we can absolutely take that forward to the university.
Councilor Palmer.
Thank you. I think my question is for Councilor Reitz. I'm just wondering if there needs to be a policy in addition to complementing the university's policy on cannabis.
Councilor Reitz.
If you have thoughts.
Yes, I have thoughts. I think that is superficially a good idea. I think resource-wise and timeline-wise this year, we should focus on what needs to get done and getting through the rest of the policies. However, moving forward, as that on-campus cannabis policy evolves, we may have reactions to that and may want to integrate that into policy. Just within the scope of this year, it's a conversation that we'll likely have in 2 weeks when we do an evaluation of where we are at. But I do express interest in it, just want to place it within, you know, a sequence of events that make sure we get through everything this year. So thanks for the question.
Thank you, Councilor Yates. Can you press your button again so your background speaker, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Now go to Vice President Batlinger.
I had a question for President Larson. I was just wondering if you had anything to add to his update since he ran out of time.
President Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the question. I do have actual items to add. I am attending University of Canada's Lobby Days, October 22nd through 24th. This is lobby efforts taken on by it's a lot of universities across Canada. They have around 90 staff, a fairly large budget. I am going to be advocating on their behalf for integrated work learning experiences, as well as providing the student perspective alongside university's presence. Very excited. It's an all expenses paid, great opportunity. I had participated yesterday in the mid-year managers meeting, an all-day event in where the mid-year managers all come together to look at, one, the strategic plan, two, to plan out any sort of weak areas of weakness, and three, to strategically move us in whatever direction council provides, obviously along the strategic plan. Finally, I today spent the afternoon at the opening ceremonies for the Aga Khan Gardens. It was a fantastic event, and I got to see His Highness the Aga Khan. He power walked right past me. It was great. However, if you haven't been to the Botanic Gardens before, I highly recommend it. The new garden is quite beautiful, and tomorrow is a 20-degree day, so you have an opportunity. Do check it out. And finally, cannabis will be legal, and you can probably smoke out there. Just saying, really, go check it out.
I'm more than last.
Aside from that, thank you so much.
Thank you, President Larson. Go Governor Fleming.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This question is for Mr. Cowboy. Now, as somebody who values going through old meeting minutes and record keeping and transparency, I'm troubled that there hasn't been a executive committee meeting minute posted since June 27th. And I was wondering if we might be able to get some exploits from those meetings posted right away.
President Larson.
Thank you for the question. There is a kind of a long answer, which is that our executive coordinator is responsible for the minute taking of our unit, not the Discover Governance unit. So what has happened is that we, one, replaced a number of our frontline staff that all needed training over the summer, all the people who record our minutes and take them. And two, we had some problems uploading to the website. I can follow up more pointedly tomorrow, but if we can't get them online, I would be open to just forwarding them to anybody who would like them. I do believe the motion tracker is up to date, though, I'm looking at. No? Oh, it's not? Okay, never mind. I will follow up and make sure we get those posted.
Thank you, President Larson. Councillor Hiddush.
All right, my question is for VP Brown. It is not regarding cannabis, but if anyone has questions for me about the CSJ Cannabis Town Hall, it was more lit than joints will be tomorrow. just for the information, like for council, Campus Saint Jean students or any student that takes more than three or more classes in French gets a $1,000 scholarship for full-time French studies. But it is not available for students yet. Students don't know when it's going to be available.
Get your point.
Do you know anything about what's happening with that?
Vice President Brown.
Yeah, thank you for the question. Thank you for the question. This is something that's been brought to my attention in the last couple of weeks. I have reached out to the Minister of Advanced Education staff, and they put me in touch with someone, so I'm actually having a phone call about it with them tomorrow. But from what I have heard, similarly that students are not able to access the Fellowship for Full-Time Studies in French scholarship, and the fact that no notice was given is quite appalling, in my opinion. So as soon as I have any information, hopefully by the end of tomorrow, I'll communicate that for sure.
Thank you, Mr. President Brown. Councilor Lee.
Yes. So as some of you may have heard, a student was stopped on the LRT for having a U-Pass that peace officers claimed was forged. But obviously it was not forged, it was a legitimate U-Pass. and the city says that a printing error was responsible for the mistake. So I was just wondering if we know if there are other UPASSes that have been compromised by this, and other students might be at risk of what might be an unfortunate encounter with law enforcement on their commute. I'm guessing that would be for Vice President Ripka.
Thank you, Councilor Lee. Vice President Ripka.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the question. To my knowledge, no. I haven't heard of anything else that's happened like this. I need to read that article, in fact. What I do know is from the other side of things, there have been a couple cases of legitimately forged UPASSes, where they'll take like a sticker from last year and put it on, like not really care kind of thing. So I think that's kind of why they've been on the lookout for those types of things, but this was definitely an anomaly of a situation and hopefully doesn't occur in the future. Thanks.
Thank you, Vice President Ripka. Councillor Riggs.
My question is for Governor Flamin. I would like to hear more about the end of the CAC meeting and what happened regarding CSJ and the other meeting times. Look forward to it.
Governor Flamin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the question. So going back to the canceling the meetings before I was so rudely interrupted. Now, the issue had come up because this year and last year, we drove all the way down to Camrose, and the meeting was quite short. There was very few things on the agenda, and we believe that may have been what contributed to there only being 7 people on the bus down there this year. So we're trying to flesh out some ideas to potentially... where the idea was to cancel the meeting before these off North Campus meetings so that the agendas in our 2 other campuses would be a little more fulsome, and then other ways that we can add value to our meetings, because these are our constituents that we're representing. It's nice that we can go down and interact with them and have their representatives interacting with us. So things that had come up were presentations, question periods from constituents down there, meet and greets, campus tours, whatever the case may be, because as was brought up, it was quite expensive to rent a big full bus or big bus that was not full. It's going to be a continued topic of discussion. We're going to wait and see how the CSJ meeting goes in the winter term. Councilor Batnagar also mentioned GovWeek. Please ask for more questions about that. And we talked about some sections of the Finance Committee standing orders about shuffling membership of the Student Group Granting and SU Awards Adjudication Committees, and possibly opening that up to all council members and not just Finance Committee members. I hope I answered
your question. Thank you, Governor Flamin. There's your other 2 minutes. Let's go to Councillor Ferris.
Cool. This is for VP Batnagar. I was just wondering if you would like to explain a little bit more about how your specific presentation went in New York and anything you want to share about that.
Vice President Batnagar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the question. So the presentation that I gave at the Open Ed 2018 conference was a session on library and student advocacy and how they interrelate and how they are conjoined at the University of Alberta. So we're actually in a really unique position where our students' union is advocating alongside the university against university administrators regarding open educational resources and what stake they play on campus. So we have a lot of librarians from across, I would say, more targeted at the university or at the United States of America, where a lot of their times their student associations just quite frankly are not as strong or well-educated as the ones in Canada or in Alberta at least. And so we spent a lot of time talking about how this committee, the OER Steering Committee, came to fruition, why it's important that a student is chairing this committee, and how the libraries is a really strong support of this and how they sort of help in the back end. And it was really great to, we actually made like little bookmarks for everyone, which is really great for librarians. I guess they read a lot of books or something, so that was helpful. And they had a little spot for them to, contact us. And I've gotten about 6 emails from librarians at that session asking me for more feedback and more information regarding things like the Be Booksmart Fair and things like the Mount Royal Open Educational Days that they host. And so overall, it was like really positive to talk to them about how important student advocacy is and how strong student voices can be when talking about open educational resources, and letting them know that students not only care about costs of education, but also the quality of education that they receive.
Mr. Bendinger. Councillor Sunday.
Mr. Speaker, my question is to the Chair of Bylaw. For clarification, in the event that there is an inconsistency regarding bylaw and a committee's standing orders, does bylaw prevail?
Councillor Kim.
I believe the answer is yes, but I think President Larson might know more. I don't know if I can defer my speaking time or...
You cannot defer your speaking time, however, if the...
Yeah, that's the right answer.
Very well, then. Very, very well structured question. Thank you very much, Councillor Sunday. Now go to Councillor Kobus.
Hi, my question is for VP Ripka. I currently really have to go to the washroom, but I've been waiting because I feel like this question is really important. If I was in a wheelchair right now and I was at RAT, I would actually have to get on an elevator and go either to the sixth floor if it was before 6 p.m. and to the basement if it was after 6 p.m. I don't think this is appropriate, and I'm wondering if the executive committee or anyone has ever considered this, because as a staff member of RAT, I don't think it's appropriate, and as council, we should really think about the accessibility of our patrons.
Vice President Ripka.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the question, and thanks for bringing it to my attention in particular and the exec's attention. It is not something that I've personally thought about because I haven't had to deal with the issue, but I'm so thankful that you brought it up. What I can do from here is, okay, so first of all, I think it's something that needs to be dealt with for sure. What I can do, because I'm not really sure what it would entail to make an accessible washroom in RAT in terms of budgetary constraints, but the first step in this would be to bring it to our business group committee internal to the SU with the business managers, the GM and stuff, so we can kind of brainstorm some ideas. If it's impossible due to budget restraints of making an accessible washroom, maybe we could explore other ideas of having the sixth floor open longer until we can allocate the budget to making an accessible washroom. But thanks again for bringing it to my attention, and I will keep you updated on this case.
Mr. President Ripka, we have exhausted our question period time. We currently have two people on the speaking list. Is there anyone who wishes to extend? I see one. I need five. Two, three, four, five. We are extending by 15 minutes. Councillor Hussain.
My question goes to Stephen Reese, actually. this question is in regards to the policy, internationalization policy that we passed. I believe it's 2 to 3 weeks ago. I went to the faculty and I did my consultation, and under our faculty we have an international student advocacy, and they actually questioned, I believe Resolution 6, where you say that you can increase tuition fees. You can increase language access.
Get to your question, please.
Yeah. So I had opposing views, and I believe most of the councils here are domestic students, and they didn't consult. They just gave their views with respect to what they think. So is there a way we can actually question the bill or reverse the bill so that actually we can actually go consult either International Student Association or representative of the International Student Association? Thank you.
Councillor Reitz. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the question. The policy is not closed forever and can still be reopened, and we can discuss the sort of items that were mentioned in the question. However, I just want to make really clear that this policy went over pretty much a year and a half to a year of consultation, and that specific point came out of that consultation, and you know that consultation did include international students, so I would just argue with the point that we did not engage with international students because we certainly did. However, I will make clear that you know this isn't closed forever, and if there is a continuing and pointed interest brought forward to the policy committee that we require this to be amended, that's a discussion that we can have. Just would want to end with the note that we did engage with international students. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Reitz. Councilor Molly.
My question is directed to VP Brown, and it's in regards to legalization of marijuana. So I'm wondering what consequences they would be, because I think we're all hyped up about the legalization. I'm up like spots. but I'm wondering what the consequences are if folks do not want to be. If folks do not smoke in those designated areas, and what the ramifications like are, but also if these are going to like open up cases of like discriminatory acts and stuff like that, if folks are like called on, like Becky at like the corner store kind of thing, calls on, like, you know what I mean?
Councilman Ali, please conclude and
that's my question.
I know you were here at the beginning. One question per questioner. You asked two questions there. So what would you like Vice President Brown to answer?
The ramifications of folks that do not smoke in the designated areas.
Thank you. Vice President Brown.
Yeah, thank you for the question. I think it's important to consider. I'll be honest, I'm not entirely sure what the consequences are for students who do choose to consume cannabis not within the established zones by the university. That's something I will look into and can report back to council. However, I will note that I do hope this does not lead to any sort of discriminatory efforts, but should that happen, it is something that we will take extremely seriously and make sure that we're advocating for students so that that does not happen.
Thank you, Vice President Brown. We will go to Councilor Agarwal.
Cool. I think this question would have been for VP Bourgeois, but whoever can answer it would be great. I did bring this up on the WhatsApp group. The student union building in the past was certified by BOMA, so it's essentially like a green certification for the building. And it seems to have been expired in 2014, and on the website of Sustainable Council, I couldn't find the page where that link used to be, so can someone comment on that?
That sounds like a VP Ops question. Vice President Ripka.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the question. To be honest, I'm not sure. There are many different certifications that buildings can get. This does sound like a great item for the Social and Environmental Responsibility Committee, which meets next Wednesday. So I'll just add it to the agenda, look into the history of that, and then see if we do want to recertify or choose another. So I know there's also like the LEED certifications that you could get also. We can do some research into which one's better to pursue and then go from there. Thank you.
Vice President Ripka. Councilor Sunday.
Mr. Speaker, my question is to the President. Does any job at the Student Union currently require any type of anti-oppression or bias training?
President Larson.
That's a very good question. Not a requirement upon hiring. However, we do professional development at all points in time, and we are currently looking into how we can have all of our managers as well as our general manager partake in unconscious bias training as well as others. Generally, we don't put it as a prerequisite for hiring because some people have training, some people do not.
Thank you, President Larson. Councilor Palmer.
Yes, I was just going to comment on on the internationalization policy. It also came here twice, so I'm just wondering why now you have brought this when you had opportunity as a council from before.
Councilor Hussain.
I think I joined the ICU Council around September 12th, and it was presented the following. So that's why I questioned it, and I didn't want to comment before because I didn't had my own prevailing views, but I know that the BSC has also the international advocacy person, so I want to comment and give my views if I consulted what the faculty said. So that's why I questioned it at first with my own views, and also did so because I worked with international students for a year, and I knew that the views that were brought up by Councilor Gagar and Governor Fellman, that they were true, because I did, and I came to Canada in 2015. I know that the problems faced by international students. So before I have my own views, I know what we go through, and I actually had to consult with the International Student Association for BSA, because I represent the Faculty of Business. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hussain. So any members of council who have questions? We have 8 minutes left, going once, going twice. Seeing none, I will conclude question period there.
And question period as well, we do have one question that was written here that you can see, and the response was in the late editions. We'll now move into board and committee business. Sunday moves to appoint one member of council to the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee. Is there a second for this motion? Councillor Ferris. We'll now go to Councillor Sunday. Oh, let me fix the timer here. Councillor Sunday, would you like to introduce your motion?
Yes.
Hello, everyone. So there has been an opening for a permanent member on the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation. Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee. It works similar to CAC in that all members are members of ARC. However, we have permanent members to fill quorum. The meetings are every 2 weeks on off-council Mondays. They usually last 1 to 2 hours. We have a lot of stuff coming up. It's a great way to learn, broaden your horizons, as well as potentially meet Aboriginal students who are not part of council and might be from your faculty. After the town hall, I've received a few emails of interested students who want to come out to committee meetings, so it's a great way to meet undergraduate students. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to ask or answer any. Thank you.
Sorry, just give me a second here. It looks like the live stream just blacked out for a second.
Yeah. Oh, this is still on.
Real? Looks like we're back now. Okay, thank you, Councillor Sunday. Now, before the nomination and debate of the motion, getting with Councillor Cobus.
I would like to nominate. I don't know the new councillors' names. Sorry.
So, why don't we just, all three of you, say your name again so that everyone knows your name?
My name is Eamon.
Admin.
Okay.
Ahmad.
Nguyen.
Okay, I would like to nominate Councillor Admin.
Councillor Admin? Hello. Do you, so if you've been nominated,
yes.
You may choose to accept or decline the nomination.
Oh, I'll accept it.
To accept. President Larson? Oh, that's not from Councillor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Hadouche.
Councillor Hadouche, do you accept?
I accept.
Councillor Belport.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Equal. I feel like I said your name wrong.
That's close enough, but I respect it.
Okay, and Councillor Palmer.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Yao.
Councillor Yao, do you accept?
Respectfully.
Decline?
No.
No? You accept?
No, I don't.
Okay. Councillor Sunday.
Just a quick question. Did they say accept last time?
Councillor Yao, you said decline, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I would like to nominate Governor Flamin.
Governor Flamin, you accept?
When was the name time again?
Off Council Mondays.
Four. No, I typically work until 5. I wouldn't be able to make the meeting.
Councillor Palmer.
I would like to nominate our other two new members.
Pick one for now.
I didn't catch your name. Councillor, what's your last name?
Nguyen.
Either or.
So it's Councillor Nguyen and Councillor Ahmad, right?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Ahmad first.
Okay, Councillor Ahmad, do you accept?
I accept.
You accept.
Can I also nominate Councillor?
You can request again, and then when I come back to you, you can nominate the next person. Councillor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Ferris.
Councillor Ferris, do you accept?
I respectfully decline.
Councillor Hadouche.
I would like to nominate Councillor Nguyen.
Councillor Nguyen, do you accept?
So just to clarify, the meetings are on Monday at 4?
Yeah.
Off council, so like next week, okay. Monday.
I respectfully decline.
Okay. Councillor Wally.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Hussein.
Councillor Hussein, do you accept?
I respectfully decline.
Councillor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Bruce.
Councillor Bruce, do you accept?
I respectfully decline.
Councillor Palmer.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Bilak.
Councillor Bilak, do you accept?
Some of these stuff up here I'll see on different nights, so I accept the plan.
Oh, someone just came off. Councillor Sunday.
I apologize to the councillor for not knowing their name, but you were currently in a pink stripe.
That's Councillor Cobus.
Councillor Cobus.
I respectfully decline.
Thank you, Councillor Cobus. Is there any other nominations or debate? We currently have Councillor Adwan, Councillor Hadouche, and Councillor Ahmad. Councillor Palmer.
I'd like to nominate VP Academic.
Vice President Batnagar.
I am already a member of this committee, so.
Thank you. Councillor Mwale.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Kim.
Councillor Kim, do you accept? Councillor Cobus.
Motion to close nominations.
I hope so.
Yes. I'm going to rule that dilatory because I want to have as many nominations as possible in this. If there's no, I'm going to not allow that on this one because I like having nominations. It's good governance. So if there is any other, if there's no other nominations, that's fine. But I'm going to say no to closing debate on this one.
What is this BP again?
Councillor Belcourt.
I'd like to nominate Councillor DePinto.
Councillor DePinto, do you accept?
How many people are nominated?
Three. For one position.
I decline. Sorry.
You decline. Who do we have up here? Councillor Ahmad.
Sorry, I just checked my schedule. I'll have to simply decline.
Okay, he withdraws. Councillor Palmer.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Anderson.
Councillor Anderson.
I respectfully decline.
Councillor Mwale.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Reitz.
Councillor Reitz, do you accept?
Thank you very much for the nomination, however, I respectfully
decline. Okay, there's any more nominations? Councillor Palmer.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Lee.
Councillor Lee, do you accept?
Also, because of the class, I have to respectfully decline.
All right, going once, going twice, close nominations. So we have Councillors Adwan and Councillor Hadouche. So what will happen now is you will each be given 2 minutes to tell Council why you should be on this committee, following which we will vote on who gets the spot on the committee. We will go in the order that the people were nominated, beginning with Councillor Adwan. You have the floor for 2 minutes.
Hello, my first meeting here. Already going for some positions for committees that I don't really know much about, but I think the reason why you should vote for me is because I'm motivated to learn and to do as much as I can. I do have a busy schedule, but I can easily fit it in. And that's all I'll say. I'm motivated. I can do it. Just tell me to do something. I got it. You can depend on me. All right. That's all.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Hadouche.
Hello, everyone. Strong mood, what you said. Also, I feel I'm already on two committees. I can just show up. It's like CAC. I can just show up. I think that the newer council member is not on any committees, so I think you should vote for him so he can be on a committee, and I'll just show up anyways because that's fun.
Councillor Hadouche, you do have the option of withdrawing your acceptance if you'd like.
Yeah.
If somebody talks to you, I'm just saying, that is a thing you can do.
Oh. I'll just do it.
You'd like to?
I would like to withdraw my...
Thank you very much. That means that, by acclamation, Councillor Adwan is now on ARP. Now, this next one on here, I don't exactly know what it's trying to say, so Councillor Bilak, could you explain what this is supposed to say?
That's on. Okay, so it's supposed to say, we want the council to approve the nomination of Christian to be on the diet board.
Okay.
Essentially. Sorry. What?
So, what is the person's full name?
I don't know. Okay, apparently it's Christian something.
Okay. Councilor Bielak, we will move on to the next item.
Yeah.
We will come back to this.
Okay.
When we come back, I would like you to have your motion reworded in a proper format.
Point of privilege?
Yes.
I would just like to inform everyone to abstain from using acronyms in either written or spoken.
Thank you very much. That is very true. Do not use acronyms, and as well, yeah, do not use acronyms because we want to make sure that people understand what's going on. Okay, so this is the Discipline, Interpretation, and Enforcement Board. We will come back to this. Councillor Bielak will reword his motion, and we will have it changed by the time we get back to it. Vice President Ripka, how important is your motion here? Can we do you want a long period of time to do your FACRA thing, or would you be okay with us just taking 5 minutes to do it quick?
Yeah.
Do it quick?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we are coming close to the recess time, but not quite. Okay, so Vice President Ripka moves to appoint one member of council to the FACRA board, to the First Alberta Campus Radio Association. Is there a second for this motion? Governor Flam. Vice President Ripka, would you like to introduce your motion?
Yes, please. Thank you. So as Governor Flamin kind of explained already, the First Alberta Campus Radio Association is looking for another member of their board, as Councillor Thibodeau had to resign. So it sounds like a pretty dynamic board to be on. This is a recipient of a dedicated fee unit, and it's a really neat way to see another aspect of campus life, so I highly encourage all of those to run. Thanks.
Thank you, Vice President Ripka. I'll now open the floor to debate and nominations. Councillor Belfort.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Sunday.
Councillor Sunday, do you accept?
Oh, I guess I don't need that.
Yeah, just
yeah,
say
I accept.
The first Thursday of the month at 6:30.
Okay, thank you. Did anyone hear that? Meeting times are first Thursday of the month at 6:30, you said?
Yeah.
For about 3 hours. So any other nominations? Councillor Yao.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Bose.
Councillor Bose, do you accept?
I respectfully
nominate. Oops,
sorry.
Okay. Councillor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Amen. So sorry.
That's another one.
It's my first name, but I respectfully decline. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Edwin. Not yet. We don't have placards for them yet. We'll have them soon. Councillor Sunday.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Palmer.
Councillor Palmer, do you accept? Thank you, Councillor Palmer. So any other nominations for this board? Going once. Going twice. Closed nominations. By acclamation, Councillor Sunday now sits on the back of the board. Right, at 7:27, and we're going to call the recess here. I will take attendance. President Larson.
Here.
Vice President Batnagar.
Present.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
Vice President Ripka.
Here.
Vice President Bourgeois. Governor Flamin.
Here.
Councillor Lynn.
Yep.
Councillor Kobus.
Yep.
Councillor Anderson?
Here.
Councillor Rates?
Here.
Councillor Moale?
Here.
Councillor Hussaini is not here.
Point of parliamentary inquiry?
Yes.
Is it possible to make a motion now, or is that not something that's happening?
You can make it like a motion from the floor.
Sure.
Once we get through the items that are on the agenda, then you'll be welcome to make a motion from the floor once the predetermined business has been dealt with.
Okay. I want to suspend standing orders, so... Not necessarily. Is this something that has to wait?
Is it something that is pertinent to what's happening right now?
We're going for recess, right?
Yes.
Then yes.
Okay, then you can make your motion.
I would like to suspend standing orders for us to continue and forego the recess, as we only have one item left.
Two items.
What?
Because we have to come back to Councillor Bielak's item, and we also have the full reading of the second principles of a bill.
I would still like to keep my motion.
You'd like to keep your motion? Is there a second to that motion? Okay, Councillor Kim. So this is a motion to suspend standing orders in order to... Technically, this will be open for debate. I will allow you to speak to your motion.
I'd rather just go home than have a recess and finish this. So if we can finish this, I don't think it'll take long. Then there'll be no need to go have a recess, and then we can leave early.
Governor Flanagan.
I concur with Councillor Sunday. I think both of these items can be disposed of fairly quickly. So it does make sense to recess for 15 minutes when we could be done these in about the same length of time.
Any other debate on this? Seeing none, we'll just do this via placard so it's easier. All in favor? If you don't have a placard, just raise your hand. All opposed? Motion carries. We're suspending standing orders, meaning these will return to how they were before. Okay. Our next item of business. Kim moves on behalf of Bylaw Committee to approve the second principles of Bill Number 2, Bylaw 100 Attendance Regulations. Second for this motion, Councillor Sunday. Thank you. Councillor Kim, would you like to introduce your motion?
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. So, Bylaw Number 2 that we have approved in our last council meeting in August 10 is coming back for its second reading. As you can see, we only added one sentence, actually, in that motion according to our first principles, because our in our first principles we mentioned that we will be explicitly stating that introductory meeting of the council according to councillors official before prior to councillors official term begins shall no longer be included in attendance regulation, and that's the exact sentence we have added. Thank you
Councillor Kim. Is there any debate on this motion? Going once. Vice President Ripka.
I would just like to speak in favor of this motion, approving second principles, just to make sure that first and second principles are the same, and I think they are, so in favor.
Thank you, Vice President Ripka. Any other debates on the motion? Governor Flanagan.
Yeah, I'm also in favor.
Thank you, Governor Flanagan. Any other debates on the motion? Going once, going twice. That will close debate on the motion. We will now go to a vote. So, to remind you, you are voting whether or not this aligns with the first principles that we outlined, not whether or not you agree with it. Whether or not it aligns with the first principles. Voting is now open. Plus for if you are in favor, minus if you are against. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1.
Sorry, can you stand aside? Because I actually don't know the details of the bill. Can you stand aside?
For this?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean by...
not being
like,
Trump.
Abstain?
Yeah, abstain.
Yes, if you hit the zero, you can abstain from the bill. Okay, voting will close in 3, 2, 1. 27 in favor, 1 abstention, 0 against. Is there any abstentions wishing to be noted? Motion carries. Back up here. So we'll now go back to Councilor Bielak. Councilor Bielak, do you have an amended motion for us?
I do. I also email it to you.
Okay, you can just say it.
Okay. So Bielak moves. Ratify the appointment of Christian Singh to Tribune of Discipline, Interpretation, and Enforcement Board.
Vince, did you get that one? All right. Is there a second for this motion? Councillor Palmer. Councillor Bielak, would you like to introduce your motion?
Yes, please.
What the heck?
No, perfect, thank you. So a few weeks ago, the Dye Board hiring committee met, and we went over three different applications, and we ultimately decided to hire one of them. I also think I called him Christian earlier, which was a mistake. His name is Christian, so my apologies for that. This individual is absolutely phenomenal in his interview. They completed a double major in 3 years in the Faculty of Science, are currently doing their first year of a JD program, and have already lined out a place for an RXing position after they're done. They are amazing with community involvement. The other person in the interview is Vice President Wujua, who is not here, but both him and I were very impressed with his ability to look over the practice problem and be able to solve it. And we were just blown away by this individual. We want him on the board very badly. So I was actually in the room this time so I can answer questions. I'll try and keep his resume and cover letter confidential. But if you have questions, please let me know. But this is an individual who will bring a lot of strength to the board. So thank you.
Councillor Bielak, could you also quickly talk about, for the new people in the room, talk about what the DIVE Board is and why we have to do this?
Yeah, okay. So the DIVE Board is the Discipline, Interpretation, and Enforcement Board. So if there's ever a problem with the bylaw, like we don't understand what it's saying or what the meaning is, we can ask them to clarify what it means. Also, if a councillor or council is in violation of a bylaw, then we go in front of the board and they do a ruling on what the appropriate actions are. It's made up of a chief tribune, two associate chiefs, and a few other, I think 6 to 11 regular tribunes. And so we need to approve them. So there's a committee that meets and interviews them, and then the committee recommends who council should ratify. And so this is one of the regular tribunes, so we'll just do the hearings and decide judgments.
Thank you, Councillor Bielak. Now open for a debate on the motion. Going once. Councillor Palmer.
Hi, I was just wondering if you had asked this person about their extracurricular activities.
Thank you, Councillor Palmer. Is there anybody else who wishes to go on the speaking list? If you want to answer the question, you have to be on the speaking list. Councillor Bielak.
We did kind of informally though, so that question is not one of the ones on the pre-approved list of questions that we're supposed to ask, but through casual communication with the candidate, both before and after, we did come to the conclusion that he is involved in extracurriculars. Like I said, I won't reveal too much of his cover letter or his resume for the sake of keeping it confidential, but he is involved in the community.
Thank you, Councillor Bielak. So any other debate on this motion? Going once, going twice, I will now close debate. We'll go into a vote on the motion. Voting is now open. Once again, plus for yes, minus for no, zero for an abstention. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. There is 25 in favor, 3 abstentions, 0 opposed. Any abstentions wishing to be noted? Seeing none, motion carries. That concludes our business for today. There are no general orders. Is there any other motions? Is there any motions or business from the floor? Seeing none, we'll do attendance. President Larson.
Here.
Vice President Vandegaard.
Present.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
Vice President Rivka.
Here.
Vice President Bourgeois. Governor Flamin.
Here.
Councillor Lynn.
Yep.
Councillor Kobus.
Yep.
Councillor Anderson.
Here.
Councillor Raitt.
Here.
Councillor Moale.
Here.
Councillor Husseini is not here. Councillor Bielak.
Here.
Councillor Cunarm. Councillor Lee.
Here.
Councillor Hussein.
Yes.
Councillor Statt.
Here.
Councillor Ferris.
Here.
Councillor Thibodeau. Councillor Ansari. Councillor Yao.
Here. Wait, that was weird.
I think you came in a little late. We'll talk after. Councilor Roslin? Councilor Bose?
Here.
Councilor Adwan?
Here.
Councilor Chung?
Present.
Councilor Ahmad?
Here.
Councilor Sunday?
Here.
Councilor Nguyen?
Here.
Councilor Palmer? Councilor Azuki? Councilor Hadouche? Councilor Kim?
Here.
Councilor DePinto?
Here.
Councilor Agarwal?
Here.
Councilor Risby is in the live stream. Councilor Bruce?
Here.
Councilor Belcourt? Councilor Belcourt?
Here.
Meeting adjourned at 7:40 p.m.